What I'd like to do this morning, we kind of used for a springboard. If you look with me at verse number 39, let's start reading right there. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth, heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. You know, I'm pretty convinced this morning that there's some people in this building that are excited about the things of God, that have joy in their heart, and they have something in their heart that you can't buy at Walmart. Your mom couldn't give it to you. They could sure have an influence. Dad couldn't give it to you. He could have an influence. But only a relationship with the God of heaven could give you that joy unspeakable and full of glory. The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake with a loud voice. Boy, that tears some of the quiet churches up right there. But, you know, according to the Bible, it's all right to praise God as the Lord leads with a loud voice, and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." I mean, I wonder if that doesn't sound like sometimes, you know, somebody that gets excited testifying about the glory of God and the goodness of God. And she blurts it out, "Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." I don't know what the difference is between a baby kicking mama. I've actually been able to feel that before. You put your hand on a woman's abdomen when that baby gets so big, thump, you feel that little thump from the inside out. Now, I don't know what the difference between kicking mama and leaping in there is, but the Holy Ghost knew what it was, and he wrote it down here. He wanted us to know that there was something going on inside of Elizabeth, that there was a little life in there. His name would be called John, and God was going to use that life to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." If you back up to verse number 1, Luke is writing, he's the physician. He said, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." We talked about the declaration of those things just a moment. It said, "For even as they delivered them unto us, which were from the beginning eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know," here's the second phrase, "the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." So we've been looking at how through the chapter in Luke chapter 1, there's some things that are being declared. And not only are they being declared, a lot of people say things that are not true. And a lot of people say things that may come to pass and may not come to pass. But Luke said, what you're going to hear in this chapter is certain. And I thank God for a Bible that doesn't leave us with a question mark, but leaves us with an exclamation point, that it's certain what God has said. Certainly, He will perform. I'll review just a little bit in a moment for those that are visiting and those that couldn't be here last weekend and last Wednesday night. We started this message last Sunday morning, and I looked up at the clock Wednesday night thinking surely I would get done Wednesday night. It was 5 minutes till 8, and then I realized quickly there's no way So this morning, I'm not going to say this, that, or the other. I'm just going to dive in and go as far as we can and see what God does. Father, thank you this morning for the precious song service. Lord, to have a choir full of people on Christmas morning, what a blessing. Lord, to know the precious Holy Ghost. I didn't know the girls were going to sing, and I didn't know if they sang what they'd sing. But oh God, just to know you're in the arrangements. God, we have been, we are being, and we will be blessed by the hand of our Father. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the reading of your word, the preaching of your word, this Lord's day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Get up here, Brother Ralph. I ain't got no sense. Come on, brother. You'll be all right. You got to trust me. Amen. The Lord, while I was praying, reminded me of something. He did. Brother Ralph, this is not going to put you on the spot. You're going to be right at home. Before I preach this morning, there's somebody we need to sing happy birthday to. Anybody know his name? Let's stand. Lead us, Brother Ralph, in that song, Happy Birthday. Let's sing Happy Birthday to our precious Lord before I preach.
Happy birthday to you.
Sing it, youngins. Dear Jesus, amen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. Praise God. You can be seated. The things that God has given me in this chapter will be prefaced with the words we most surely believe. I'm not going to review a lot this morning, just give you the main topics or the main things that we've seen in the chapter and the declaration of those things and the certainty of those things which are most surely believed among us. The first one was, we most surely believe that we can put ourselves in a position to receive God's blessings. We saw that in the life of Zacharias. We saw that in the life of Elizabeth. They were walking with God, obeying the commandments of God. And so they put themselves in a position to receive the blessing of God. The second thing that we see, and we believe, we most surely believe, that our age does not limit God in His desire to bless us and to use us for His glory. Zacharias and Elizabeth were up in years, Brother Preston, but God wanted to bless them anyway. God wants to bless the old, God wants to bless the young, and God wants to bless everybody in between. Amen? God is in the blessing business. The third thing in the message, we most surely believe that God hears our prayers. We found out that Zacharias had been praying, that his wife had been barren, and that in Israel, in that time period, it was kind of a reproach, the Bible said, for a woman to be without child. And Zacharias had been praying that the God of heaven would give him a baby. Amen. Boy, did God answer that prayer. How many believes God hears and answers prayer? Amen. Then the fourth thing in the message, we most surely believe that God uses human instruments, the likes of you and I, the likes of John, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I think there's always a danger in that. If you get out of balance either way, if you say, well, God does it all, you're wrong. God uses human instruments. But if you think you can do it without God, you're wrong too. Amen? Because God uses believers, but He uses us because the Holy Spirit works in us and lives in us and works through us to help others to see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fifth thing I think we got this Wednesday night, we most surely believe. Well, this is important. It's simple, but it's important. We most surely believe that God sent into this world His Son that we might be saved from our sin. The Word of God said, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin." Now, this morning I want to get to the last two things, if God will allow me, in this message, and close out this message about these things that we most surely believe, the declaration. I'm here to declare it. God said it's certain, and if you'll believe it, it'll be a blessing to you. I tell you what would make Jesus happier than anything else. You couldn't go buy a present that cost $1 million or $2 million or $1 billion or $2 billion. You couldn't go buy anything that would make Him happy. I tell you what would make Him happy this Christmas day, Brother Paul. If somebody that didn't know Him would just come to a place in their life where they said, "I'm far enough down this trail without Jesus." Brother Ralph, that Christmas season you were talking about, that play, that's what happened. You believe Jesus was happy? I know He was. Amen. You believe Jesus would be happy if somebody that didn't know Him come to know Him? I know He would. I'll tell you something else to make Him happy. If somebody maybe that's got some distance between Him and them, they close that distance. The Bible said if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you come in with a distance and went out just walking close with the Lord, that'd make Him so happy, so happy. Happy birthday, Lord Jesus. Let's look at some things here now, this morning, and see what the Lord would say. The sixth thing now in the message, and there's seven total. The sixth thing is, we most surely believe that God, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Look with me at verse number 37. The Bible said here, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." If you read it in its context, Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She had been told she's going to have a baby, but she had never been with a man. She's asking the angel, "Would you explain this to me? Could you tell me how in the world this is possible? How could this happen?" And the angel gladly told her that the Holy Spirit would conceive in her womb and that she would bring forth a child. Let's read it. The Bible said here, the angel answered and said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was," past tense, she's not barren anymore, "who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." I believe that statement right there is not only speaking of Mary and the birth of Jesus, but I believe it's speaking of Elizabeth and the birth of John. The angel wanted her to know that with God nothing shall be impossible. Let me give you some things real quickly. We see in this story the possibility of a miracle. Amen? You know what? A lot of people don't believe in God. Well, I tell you what, how could you believe in miracles if you don't believe in God? I believe God's in the miracle working business, don't you? Hey, listen, I want to just give you something of a thought that came to me last week. I didn't plan on preaching this morning, but I'm going to tell you, just the birth of a child is a miracle. You think about all the things that goes on in the human body, how it's all connected up, how it all works together. And just the birth of a child is a miracle. But the birth of the Son of God is a miracle. And beloved, the second birth is a miracle. When we're born again, when we trust Jesus to be our Savior, it's a miracle. The possibility of a miracle. Listen. This man, Charles Kettering, he said this. He said, when I
was research head of General Motors, and I wanted a problem solved, I'd place a table outside the meeting room with a sign. And the sign said this, "Leave the slide rules here." If I didn't do that, he said, I'd find someone reaching for his slide rule in the meeting. Then he'd be on his feet saying, "Boss, you can't do that. I want you to tell you something right now. Listen, as children of God, we need to believe God. Leave the slide rule on the table and just say, 'Yes, God, you can do that.'" The Bible said over there in the book of Psalms, the children of Israel said, "Can God furnish us a table in the wilderness?" Now listen to me just a moment. Listen to me just a moment. I made a few notes because I don't have a real good memory. But listen to me just a moment. Listen how silly this is to ask a question like that. Can God furnish us a table in the wilderness? They had seen God. They had seen Aaron's rod when it was cast down. They saw it become a serpent. Well, the magician said, "We can do that." And so they threw their rods down in Egypt and they became serpents. But then God said, "Watch this. Aaron's swallowed up all of theirs." Wonder how they felt then, Brother Rose. Powerless. That's how we are without God. We're powerless. And then I thought about this. The children of Israel, they got to see the water turned into blood. They got to see the frogs take over. They got to see the lice take over. Listen. Now, listen to me just a moment. If I'm standing here and I'm a believer, God's hand is upon me and I'm a believer, and frogs come in here and they get on everybody except me, you know what I'm going to think? That's a miracle. If the flies come in here, brother, and they get on everybody except me, or let's just say Brother Steve's section, they're on everybody else except your section, wouldn't your section think, "What's going on here? This is a miracle." The children of Israel, they didn't have to fight the flies. They didn't have to fight the lice. They didn't have to fight the frogs. But they saw all that go on among the children of Israel. I'm just telling you, look at the miracles that they've seen. They saw the water turn to blood. They saw the livestock of the Egyptians die while their livestock lived. They saw the plagues. They saw the boils on the Egyptians. They saw the hail mingled with fire destroy the property of the Egyptians and the cattle and all that. They saw the locusts. And then listen to this. One night, there was an angel passed through the land of Egypt. And everybody's firstborn died. Except those that listened to God. And took that lamb and cut that lamb's throat, took that blood and took that plant called hyssop and put it in that blood, applied it to the lintel, applied it to the doorpost. This is what the children of Israel got to see, and then ask a stupid question like, "Can God furnish us a table in the wilderness?" They're backed up against the Red Sea. Now look what you've done, Moses. There's no way out. God said, "Moses, just touch that sea." God parted that. This is what they saw, Brother Steve. And then have the gall to get over there across the sea and begin to ask questions like, "Can God?" They saw water come out of the rock. They saw quail come down. They saw manna come down from heaven. Let me ask you this. What have you and I got to see in our lifetime? You say, "Preacher, I've not seen any miracles in my lifetime." I tell you what, I hope you can look in the mirror and see a miracle. I hope you can look in the mirror and see an old sinner been saved by the grace of God, heaven bound with a hammer down. I hope, beloved, listen, like Brother Kevin was saying this morning, that you can say, "Hey, even if I didn't have a house, if I didn't have clothes, if I didn't have anything, I have Jesus." And that's a miracle. That's a miracle of God. The possibility of a miracle. They should not have been saying, "Can God?" They should not have been operating with a question mark, Brother Preston. They should have been operating with an exclamation point. They should have been saying, "Can God?" They should have been saying, "God can! God can! God can!" The possibility of a miracle. Do you need a miracle? You say, "Preacher, you got a miracle for me?" No, but I know the one who does. Amen. He's no respecter of persons. God is God. The Bible said we know that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us. Beloved, the possibility of a miracle. Number two, you see in this story, the power to perform a miracle. Look at verse number 35. The Bible said, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. How many believes that God has power in 2016, fixing to be 2017? God has all power in heaven and in earth. There's the power to perform a miracle. That power is not in a preacher. That power, my beloved friend, is in prayer. That power is in God. That power is in the Holy Spirit. And then I want you to look at verse 38. I see a woman, and I'm using this word again, and I don't mind. I believe God is trying to give us a double witness on something right here in this chapter. We see someone that's in a position to receive a miracle. You say, preacher, how did Mary get in that position? Look what the Bible said in verse number 38. And Mary said, behold, when the angel got done talking to her, she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That's what God's looking for. Somebody that will just surrender and say, God, not my will in my life, but your will in my life. Be it unto me according to thy word. Think about that for just a moment. A miracle. Beloved, we most surely believe that with God, nothing shall be impossible. If you all are okay, give me about 15 more minutes. We'll finish this. You ready? Okay. 15 or 20? Do I hear 25? Let's just see what God will do. This last one's good. It's just the way it come about in the chapter. We most surely believe that God, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Then the last thing I want to give you in this chapter is we most surely believe that our Lord is worthy of all honor and all glory and all praise. Let me show you something this morning. I wasn't going to say anything about this. No, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I wasn't going to say anything about it. I won't be specific because I know this is going out on the internet. But I heard this. Now, I didn't see it with my own eyes, but I heard it from a good source. That a pastor put on Facebook, some of these churches are going to go ahead and have services on Christmas Day. I can't help it, Miss Eve. Amen. It's just in me. And it's fixing to get out of me. A pastor put on Facebook, some of these churches are going to have church on Christmas Day. Isn't it something that they can't do without the tithes and offerings for just one day? I say gag a maggot off a gut wagon. I'm not here today for tithes. I'm not here today for offerings. My people, Brother Rose, would give their tithe and their offering next week if they wasn't here this week. Somebody help me this morning. We came here today to worship Him. We come here every Sunday to worship Him. We come here every revival meeting to worship Him. We come here every prayer meeting to worship Him. He's worthy of all honor and glory and praise. Let me just give you a little lesson right quick. I told my wife coming down the road. I said, honey, that's what Jesus is talking about when He said, judge not, lest you be judged. See, Brother Grizzle, that's judging somebody else's motive. That's somebody sitting over there saying they know why we're having church today. That's the kind of judgment that is not biblical. That's the kind of judgment. Now, listen to me carefully. I'll help you right here. Oh, you got all kinds of people. Oh, you're not supposed to judge. That kind of judgment, you're not. You can't sit there and say, you know why I'm preaching this morning. I can't stand up here and say, I know why you came to this service. That's the judgment. Jesus said, you better leave it alone. Judge not lest you be judged. Now, I can stand up here this morning and say, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. You say, what's the difference in that? I can stand up here this morning and say, don't even look at that wine while it moveth itself aright. I can stand up here and say this morning that same-sex marriage is an abomination before God. You say, preacher, you're judging. No, I'm not. That's righteous judgment. I'm preaching the Word of God. How many sees the difference? Amen? That's the difference. That's the difference. A lot of people don't know the difference. That's the difference. My wife got me some really nice things for Christmas. I can't judge why she did that.
I think I know. I'm almost certain it's because she married the best looking man in the world. That is funny, ain't it? Amen. I tell a joke every once in a while when I'm preaching, don't I, Brother Gary? Amen. I just told a good one. Amen. I know, believe with all my heart, my wife loves me, but God knows her heart. God knows my heart. God knows your heart. God knows our heart. Let's get to this last thing right here. Worthy. Why is he worthy? We believe, we most surely believe that he's worthy of all honor and glory and praise. Let me run through these real quickly. Okay, you ready? Look at verse number 39. Mary arose in those days, went into the hill country with haste, into the city of Judah, entered into the house of Zacharias, saluted Elizabeth. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. He's worthy, number one, because he came to where we are. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. Mary couldn't go to where Gabriel was, but Gabriel came to where Mary was. Elizabeth and John, they couldn't go to where Gabriel was, but Gabriel came to where they were. Hey, when I could not go to where he is, he came to me. We ought to worship him and praise him because of that this morning. We ought to bless his name. He's worthy because he came to where we are. Secondly, he's worthy. Watch this. This goes with the song, Brother Kevin. I'll catch you down at the red light when I get this one. Amen. Watch this. And he spake out with a loud voice. Watch this now. Look at verse 42. She spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. I tell you, number two, we ought, my friend, to believe that he's worthy of all honor and praise. He's worthy because he came to where we are. He's worthy because he has blessed us beyond measure. He's blessed us beyond measure. Yesterday, there was probably hundreds of times more food thrown away while there are people in the world. Miss Eve made homemade rolls yesterday. I'm not trying to make you hungry. But I'm telling you what's truth. When the rolls are served up yonder, I'll be there. They are excellent. They are nothing short of awesome. I only ate one because there was other things like steak and shrimp and king crab legs and broccoli casserole. Yeah, we don't have a traditional Christmas dinner sometimes, amen. We just go for it. It was awesome. But while we were feasting, many in the world are in a famine. We've been so blessed, people. And we ought to praise him because we've been so blessed. He's worthy because he's blessed us beyond measure. Number three, he's worthy because he always keeps his promise. Look at verse 45. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her by the Lord. You know what Elizabeth's saying to Mary? Honey, you're blessed. Because what? Listen, he didn't just say that. He's going to do what he said. How many believes God's going to do what he said? Amen. We're worthy. Next. I don't have them numbered, so I'll just say next. We're worthy because he has lifted us. Brother John, I've not come unglued when you testified in the choir a while ago. The Bible said in verse number 48, he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. He's worthy because he's lifted us from a very low estate. God has been so good. Look, if you will, at verse number 52. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Let me just stop and make a statement right here. In God's family, the way up is down. You'll never get in God's family till you humble yourself. And you'll never be blessed in God's family till you humble yourself under the hand of Almighty God. If you want the blessings of God to flee from your life, then you just get full of yourself. You get full of pride. You be arrogant. But if you want God's blessings, then, beloved, humble yourself. under the mighty hand of God. We're worthy. He's worthy of praise because he's lifted us from a very low estate. Look at verse number 49. He's worthy of praise because he that is mighty hath done great things. Watch this. Verse 49, he is mighty, hath done great things to me, hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Let me give you this statement. I'll move on. He's worthy because he that is mighty hath done great things to me. He's done great things for me. He's done great things in me. And he's done great things through me. He's the only one that's worthy. You say, preacher, don't you believe there's some good in you? Here's what I believe. In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Everything that's good about any of us, he is responsible for. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. You see, we have no reason, we have no room to be proud. We need to realize it's because of him. It's because of him. Watch this now. He's worthy because he's merciful. Watch this. And his mercy is new every morning. Look at verse 50. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. In verse number 50, verse number 54, verse number 58, look at verse 54. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Look at verse number 58. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how that the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. He's worthy because he's merciful and because his mercy is new every morning. In this story, God has had mercy on Israel. In this story, God has had mercy on Zacharias and Elizabeth. In this story, God has had mercy on Mary. In this story, God has had mercy on Joseph. It didn't get out of hand. The angel came just in time, fixed everything up. Everything was right on time. In this story, God extended mercy to the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You say, preacher, why can God pass over judgment on the sinner? Why can he not judge the sinner for his sin? Here's the reason. The judgment was placed upon his Son on an old rugged cross. There's no other reason that God would ever pass over the judgment of sin. He's merciful. He's merciful. And then he's worthy. Just a couple more things. The Bible said in verse 64, his mouth was open. You remember, Zacharias was dumb. He couldn't speak. Now, the baby's been born. God said, you're going to be dumb until the baby's born. The baby's been born, his mouth is opened immediately, his tongue is loosed, and he spake. What's the next thing he done? He praised God. Brother Rose, Zacharias wasn't bitter. Zacharias knew he got what was coming to him for not believing the angel. He wasn't bitter against God. A lot of times when things don't go the way people think they ought to go, they get bitter. I believe, let me just tell you what I believe. I believe the whole time that Zacharias has got lockjaw, he can't speak. I believe he's becoming a better person. I believe God's making him a better husband. I believe God's making him a better daddy. I believe God's making him a better servant of the Most High God. You say, preacher, why do you believe that? Because the first thing that come out of his mouth, Brother Ralph, when he was able to speak, was praise God. Bless his name. That was the first thing he wanted us to know. That he had a praise in his heart. Why should we praise him? Well, one reason is we're breathing. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And then look in verse number 68. He's worthy because he has redeemed his people. The Bible said in verse number 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. I'm just glad God visited with you and redeemed you. He's worthy of all honor and glory. Well, I most certainly believe he's worthy, don't you? Worthy. Then the last thing, And I would have liked to have taken maybe more time and, you know, just got into every verse. But I'll leave that for you to do. You can go back and chew on this chapter some more. Amen. And it'll be a blessing to you. But he's worthy. And there's an individual here that I thought about. I won't say the name. But when God gave me this, I thought about that individual. Look at verse number 79. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He's worthy of all honor and glory and praise because he's still knocking holes in the darkness. Little boy years ago was looking out the window. I read this story in a book one night before I went to bed. Little boy was looking out the window and a man walked up behind him. He was watching somebody out on the street. In those days, there was no electricity. And someone would climb up the ladder and at the light pole and light the lantern. Come back down, go down to the next light pole on the street, climb up the ladder and light the lantern. And the older gentleman said to the little boy, said, son, what are they doing? And the little boy looked at the older gentleman and he said, sir, they're knocking holes in the darkness. I never shall forget the day when my heart was darkened by sin. And God came along and knocked a hole in that darkness. I was sitting in darkness, the Bible said, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He gives light to the fallen. He gives life to the sinner. And he guides the feet of the saints of God. Isn't that a blessing this morning? Is that reason enough to rejoice this Christmas day in the good things of God? I'm just glad you come this way today. Bless his name. Bless his name. Let's bow for prayer. Sister Theresa, if you'd come. Honey, I want to get a song this morning. If you would, I appreciate that. Brother Ralph, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning and say, preacher, the evidence in my life, it stacks up against me. The evidence in my life does not say that I know him. It says that I need him in my life. It says that I need Jesus. Maybe there's somebody here today and you know that you know him and he knows that you know him. But there's a distance between you and him. You're not close the way you once were. And this morning, this Christmas day, you'll be happy. Jesus will be happy. God's people will be happy. If just whatever you need this morning, you find that at the foot of the old rugged cross.